The late summer, the breaking news of what had happened on Animal Farm had spread across half the country. Every day, Snowball and Napoleon sent out flights of pigeons whose instructions were to mingle with the other animals on the neighboring farms, to tell them stories of the rebellion and teach them the tune of the Beast of England. Most of this time, Mr. Jones had spent sitting in the tape room of the Red Lion at Willingdon, complaining to anyone who would listen of monstrous injustice he had suffered being turned out of his property by a pack of good-for-nothing animals. The other farmers sympathized in principle, but they did not...
At first,
give him much help. At heart, each of them was secretly
wondering whether he could not somehow turn Jones' misfortune to his own advantage. It was lucky that the owner of the two farms with adjoined animal farms were on permanently bad terms. One of them, which was named Foxwood, was a large, neglected, old-fashioned farm, much overgrown by the woodland, with all its pastures worn out in its edges in a disgraceful condition. Its owner, Mr. Pilkington, was an easygoing gentleman farmer who spent most of his time fishing or hunting according to the season. The other farm, which was called Pigeonfield, was smaller and better kept. Its owner was Mr. Frederick, a tough, shrewd man, perpetually involved in lawsuits and with a name up for driving hard bargains. These two disliked each other so much that it was difficult for them to come to any agreement, even if in defense of their own interests. Nevertheless, they were both thoughtfully frightened. Thoroughly frightened by the rebellion of Animal Farm and very anxious to prevent their own animals from learning too much about it. At first, they pretended to laugh to scorn the idea of the animals managing a farm for themselves. The whole thing would be over in a fortnight.
They said.
They put it about that the animals on the manor farm, they insisted on calling it the manor farm. They would not tolerate the name Animal Farm, were perpetually fighting among themselves, and were also rapidly starving
to death.
When time passed and the animals had evidently not starved to death, Frederick and Pilkington changed their tune and began to talk of the terrible wickedness that now flourished on Animal Farm. It was given out that the animals there practiced cannibalism, tortured one another with red-hot horseshoes, and had their females in common. This was what came of rebelling against the laws of nature, Frederick and Pilkington said. However, these stories were never fully believed, rumorous of a wonderful farm where the human beings had been turned out and their animals managed their own affairs. Continued to circulate in vague and distorted forms, and throughout that year, a wave of rebellionists ran through their countryside. Bulls, which had always been tractable, suddenly turned savage. Sheep broke down hedges and devoured the clover. Cows kicked the pail over. Hunters refused their fences and shot their riders onto the other side. Above all, the tune and even the words of Beasts of England were known everywhere. It had spread with astonishing speed. The human beings could not contain the rage when they heard the song, though they pretended to think it merely ridiculous. They could not understand, except how even animals could bring themselves to sing such contemptible rubbish. Any animal caught singing
it was given a flogging on the spot, and yet the song was irrepressible. The blackbirds whistled it in the hedges. The pigeons cooed it in the elms. It got into the den of...
It got into the din of the smithies and the tune of the church bells.
And when the humans began to listen to it, they secretly trembled, hearing it a prophecy of their future doom. Early in October, when the corn was cut and stacked, and some of it was already threshed, flight of pigeons came whirling through the air and aligned in the yard of the animal farm in the wildest excitement. Jones and all... Jones and all his men, with half a dozen others from Foxwood and Pinchfield, had entered the five barn gate and were coming up the cart track that led to the farm. They were all carrying sticks except Jones, who was marching ahead with a gun in his hand. Obviously, they were going to attempt to recapture some of the farm. This had long been expected, and all preparations had been made. Snowball, who had studied an old book of Julius Caesar's campaigns, which he had found in the farmhouse, was in charge of the defense operations. He gave his order quickly, and in a couple of minutes, every animal was at their post.